WCGS on KMOX 305 on the dot. Beautiful day out there. Going to get even better over the weekend. I didn't want to say this with Ricky Horton on with us because he'd get a big head and he'd stop being my best friend. He is the nicest guy.
It's so nice.
Like, it is not an act.
No.
Like, when, like, we know him, right? Like, we know him. You know him really well.
Yeah.
And I know him pretty well now. But he's Ricky Horton, and he's calling the Cardinals game in the Cardinals booth. And when I go up to visit the guys in the booth, the second he can get away, he pops up out of his chair, comes upstairs, gives you a big hug. He's just a good person.
Yep.
Good dude.
He is what you think he is.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's genuine.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm grabbing his butt tonight.
Dude, that might end the friendship.
Or enhance it.
And that's how Dave got banned from Busch Stadium.
It's a risk, I grant you. I think I can make it work.
Just blame it on Nick if he doesn't. Be like, it was him.
My son's got a butt grabbing problem. Nick, what have I told you about this? Yeah, it'd be good to see Rooney and Klebs.
Yeah, be good. That's a good crew, man. They all get along. You know,
it's a nice room.
It's a great room. Thanks to Mr. Shannon for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the Mike Shannon suite. Essentially, it's huge. It's gorgeous. You got fridges in the background with drinks and things like that. It's a great setup.
It's also cool too because the TV guys are right there.
Yep.
The Spanish broadcast is right there.
Yeah, Benji and Polo right down the road. Obviously, you've got Chip and. And my buddy BT or mm-hmm. Jim Edmonds. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's a good row of cool people.
Yeah. I like it. Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. I'm trying to think of which way I want to go on this, but I kind of want to go into a thing related to the Monday Night Football, but the NFL game last night with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Because this is happening more and more, and I don't really want to get into either issue specifically, but more about sports and other things being used as political cudgels, right? Because last night, of course, the Chiefs are on, so there's a lot of Taylor Swift conversation, and there are, you know, shots of her in the suite having fun and all that. And that sparks the online rage, right? The rage machine is churning and churning and churning because Taylor Swift is once again on your screen. And then there was a big deal being made last night. I don't know if you caught it or not, because the pregame got all jacked up. But before the national anthem, they did the Raise Every Voice, which people are calling the Black National Anthem. Mm-hmm. And everybody's outraged online over that being there, even though the national anthem was also there. And also the national anthem in its own prime spot, right? It's always the last thing right mm-hmm. before the game starts, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other ceremonial things that can happen at a sporting event before that. Sometimes you'll have a group of kids that'll sing America the Beautiful, and then the national anthem is sung, you know, like that kind of thing. You had the big, you know, the stealth bomber flyover last night, all this stuff. And yet, all that we are doing, and I'm watching, because I follow games on Twitter and at the same time, because I'm looking for what people are saying about the game. But then you've got all these people that are rage farming. There's outrage that they didn't just do the national anthem. And then there's outrage about Taylor Swift being there. Is that real to you guys? Like, do you think that stuff is real, or is that just the outrage machine farming engagement on social media? Like, are real people actually upset about those things?
You're the one who always brings me back down to earth when you say, when I'll complain about something, and you'll say, but do you know any people who are like that?
Yeah, because I don't.
I don't either. I can honestly say I've never been with someone at home or at a sporting event when the so-called Black National Anthem was played and they poked me in the ribs and rolled their eyes. I don't know anyone like that. Like, it doesn't bother me. I wouldn't want to have 8 songs before every game for anyone. If they had a Dave Glover anthem, I wouldn't want that. But the national anthem, as long as it has its own rarefied place, play whatever you want.
Yeah. And I love the anthem at sporting events. I don't know why we do it. I think it's weird that we do it, but I love it because it's always been a part of a sporting event when I've gone.
It's as much might make some people mad. To me, it's as much a part, it's as much about the game
the
as
mood.
It is the country. There's just like, it would feel weird to watch a baseball game and eat a hot dog and have a beer without hearing the national anthem.
Right, but we didn't always do it. We started doing this pretty recently. And by pretty recently, you know, within the last 50, 60 years. It's not like something that started at the beginning of all sports and that just carried through till now. And again, I love it. It gets me in the right mind space. I know that it's going, and when it's done really well, you get the goosebumps on the back of your neck, and the flyovers are cool because I'm a nerd and I like planes. And I used to be mad about it, like, oh, it costs money. But then they say, no, they got to do training flights anyway. So, you know, they have to fly.
Well,
so this is just an excuse.
I never considered it to cost money.
Yeah. I mean, I did for a while. I was like, oh, that's a waste of money. And then I forget who it was, but either a story I read or somebody who told me was like, no, but they have to do training runs. So they just make this a part of that. And if they do, I mean, they're going to train. So it's not an extra run. It's just part of what you're doing. Regardless, I enjoy all of that stuff and I enjoy the buildup. But something else being added to it doesn't change anything to me. Right? Like, this, you didn't take anything away.
Right.
You didn't replace anything. You didn't move it further down in the pecking order. It's still right where it always is. And this is why I don't know that I really believe that anybody, because we heard this before. We heard this with the Kaepernick thing, right? I'm done with the NFL. Really? Because attendance is still selling out. They're still selling out every game. And the ratings are still, it's still the most popular television show on the planet. Every single year, 48 of the 50 highest rated TV shows are NFL games. So people are not leaving the sport. They are not stopping. Maybe individualized people are here and there. I know there are a lot of people in town that quit on the NFL when the Rams left. But as a nation, people are not walking away in droves. And then people get into this thing where it's like, well, the NFL is all about pushing an agenda, the liberal agenda. Do you know who owns NFL teams? Big old Republicans. I mean, like, you know, pretty conservative billionaires.
White guys.
Again, not all of them are conservatives. There are definitely Democratic voting owners who are donating more to the Democratic Party than. But Jerry Jones isn't. He's the most powerful owner out there. Stan Kroenke isn't. He's one of the most powerful owners out there. Like, the league is not pushing anybody's agenda. You know what their agenda is? How many more dollars they can shove in their pockets. So if they're doing something you don't like, they're probably doing it to please someone else because the rest of us are already there and they just want to add more money to their pile.
This is sort of hijacking your segment, but when you said that, to a non-rich person like me, isn't it bizarre to think of someone being a billionaire where you literally have more money than you can spend? You can't spend. You're going to be dead before your money is gone. And you keep trying to make more. I guess I'm just inherently lazy.
But I don't think it's that.
There's a number, and it's not that big, that if I had it, I'm done.
I'm chilling.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm enjoying my life.
I'm certainly, if I'm Elon Musk, I'm certainly not getting into Twitter wars with people.
No.
I'm going to be out on the beach somewhere. I'm going to be owning a sporting team, and I'll be at their game in the owner's suite having a good time with all the famous people.
Just being happy.
I know.
Maybe this makes me the dumbest person ever, but when you just said that, Wheels, it just clicked with me that Elon probably only has these Twitter wars to keep other people on Twitter since he owns Twitter now.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, I never had that thought, but now I'm thinking, oh, well, duh, of course that's why he's always tweeting dumb stuff all the time. So people will get on X because he owns X.
And you know, the Elon thing becomes political. So to take the political stuff out of things, this is what I always ripped Stan Kroenke for. Is the only reason he wanted to move the team from here to LA was that the value of the team immediately doubles when you change the address from St. Louis to LA, and that boosts his net worth. That's all he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care about how much money he can spend. He doesn't need to spend. He has everything, but it's about the chase. And that's what I hated most about the Kroenke thing, and it's what made me get after him the most, is that he's perfectly fine stepping on hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, just to do that. He's perfectly fine with that. He's perfectly fine with stomping on a region. And then, by the way, after the fact, basically trying to burn it to the ground. Because you remember after they were leaving, the Rams were like, that town can't support another team. That town. So then,
it wasn't enough just to take our team.
Right. It's not enough to just do it. You have to badmouth them on the way out. So that's how much that guy cares about only one thing. They didn't need to move it. People that don't understand the finances of the NFL, like the NFL salary cap is $260 million. Their TV deal is $350 million per team a year. Not before they ever sell a ticket, they're $100 million ahead of what they're paying their players. And when you factor in all the other costs of like front office people and all that, it's not $50 million. Or if it is, it's right around there. So they're making so much money, and that's not enough. That stuff bothers everybody, right? I think that bothers everybody. That's what the NFL is about. They are cutthroat moneymakers. That's what they want to do. And they don't, there might be some owners that are fans. I think Jerry Jones loves the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't think he cares about the fans a bit. I think he would, if he could take more from his fans and put it in his own pocket, he would without blinking. In fact, I know he would because he's done it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to argue with something they've already done that they wouldn't do.
Well, you had a topic the other day on the show sheet. And again, I get it. It's easy to talk about when you're not in that position. But you talked about that if you were a billionaire, like a multi-billionaire.
If you're one of the richest men in the world.
Yes. Would you rather continue to be one of the richest men in the world or go down in history as one of the best people ever to live because you spent your money to help other people?
The five richest people in the world could end poverty in the United States today.
That's crazy.
They could end military veterans being homeless. They could end inequalities in schools. They could end like kids being hungry. They could. The five guys could do that. They have the money to end those problems. They would go down in the history books as five of the greatest human beings ever to live, but they would rather just keep getting more from themselves. I would rather go down in history as one of the greatest, most generous people to ever live.
Right.
Which you will.
Because yeah, sure I will. The loudest person ever to live.
322 DGS. Thanks to everyone who's made my birthday really special today. Really, really nice. Thank you, Rach, especially. You've done everything here at work, and I appreciate that, and lunch, and everyone's being really nice. The posts that we put up and the pictures and such as that. Going to the game tonight with my best friend, Nick. And
to see your other best friend, Rick.
See my other best friend, Ricky.
Nick and Rick.
Yeah, Nick and Rick. Going to grab Rick's butt and blame it on Nick.
Wheels. If you actually do it, I'm going to just die. I'm going to laugh so hard.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to grab man's butt. 60 damn years old. Well, I can grab a butt if I want to.
Yeah, it's your birthday. You can do whatever you want.
Grab his front if I feel like
well,
it.
Well,
yeah, maybe not ever.
Yeah, maybe pushing it.
Yeah.
You know my Beatles thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you know the connection between my birthday, Detroit, and the Beatles?
Yes.
You know this?
The tour started today, 1964, in Detroit.
Better than that.
At the Olympia.
A few years ago, I was being narcissistic, and I was on eBay, and I couldn't find anything to buy from my childhood, so I just put in my birthday. And what pops up, but the Beatles were in Detroit the day I was born.
Yep.
And a guy came in, this is well-documented and very famous, a guy came in to their hotel room after they left, and he took their sheets, and he cut them into pieces, and he glued them onto cardboard and authenticated them, and I bought them. And so at home somewhere, with all my other stuff I bought on eBay, I have pieces of the sheets the Beatles slept on the day I was born.
That's crazy.
So cool.
That is super cool.
Crazy?
Yeah. I thought for a while that, because my mom was at the Beatles show at the Olympia, she went and saw them in Detroit, but it wasn't that one. She saw them 2 years later. But for a while, I thought, my mom saw the Beatles the day that Dave was born. Like, that would have been really cool, but it wasn't. It wasn't quite. Off by a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in there. She was describing, like, what Ivor was describing. Couldn't even hear the songs. Could barely see them from how far you were away because everybody's screaming so much. And
so do you youngins have this at all? You are half my age, but when I see things from 1964 or 1963, like when Kennedy was shot, I was a bun in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
I was in existence. I was in the game. You could have put your hands on me during the black and white years. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Because life looked so different back then, yeah, and everything. Everyone moved fast. And like, do you get that at all? Like when you think of 1991?
I do, yeah. I when I see things on television, and because the early 90s did have a very different look to them too.
True. So, very distinct.
I mean, yeah. So sometimes I'm like, wow, I was just a little kid whenever that
picture was
happening.
I showed you guys was from 1991. So there you go. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
And what did I say? Yeah. I was like, oh, it looks very 90s.
And isn't that weird how we do that? Like, the earth has been basically the same. Trees and creeks and mountains and goats and, you know, the earth's the earth. But we take it and we put our stamp on it each generation so that it looks and feels different.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is now, you know, Gen Alpha and Gen Z have started to reappropriate like 2012. Like that is, you know how like the 70s style came back in the style. Now from like less than 20 years ago or 20 years ago, these styles are coming back in the fashion. They call it indie sleaze now. That's what they're calling just like the way we dressed whenever I was 21 years old.
How do you describe that?
Like swoop bangs and eyeliner and skinny jeans and cardigans. That's kind of coming back and they're calling it indie sleaze. And I'm just like, all right, well, that was just my life. And now you're looking back at that and you're trying to emulate that as this like nostalgic time. It's just kind of crazy.
Huh. Interesting. I don't know. See, that's one thing about being a early Gen Xer, late boomer, is that I'm sure I'm wrong, but I don't feel like we were emulating anything because the 70s were right there. So there was no emulating the 70s. We were living in it. And you would have had to have gone back to like the 40s or the 50s. No one was going to like bring back poodle skirts or, you know, like Lords of Flatbush haircuts or things like that. So I feel like during most of my life, my generation has sort of just done what we were going to do and made it up. Right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when we were doing the 80s or the 90s and all the things that were entailed in that, no one had done that before.
No, I think that's a good point because most of the things before that were impractical.
True.
And stuff wasn't made. Like, nobody made clothes. Like, you weren't making the big Marie Antoinette dress anymore. Like, people's style has changed. So, yeah, there's only so many periods you can go back to.
I could work a Marie Antoinette dress. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. 3:36. Dave Murray joins us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
That's pretty good.
You got a little.
That's pretty good.
You didn't do the Mr. President part.
I was like kind of a cross between that and Bill Murray.
Yeah, that was good. Dave, we saved you $40 today. We had the giant burger, but we split it. And it's a good thing we did because they split it four ways and none of us even finished our fourth.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would have gladly paid that too.
We, you would have paid triple just to watch Andrew try. I mean, it was, and we asked our server, has anyone ever done this? And she said in 5 years that they've had this challenge, one person has done it.
Wow.
Because there are a lot of eating challenges that people do. Oof. Like people win them. This one was crazy.
But you have to see it too, Dave. Not only is the burger like 2 pounds and all that, but the tray of fries that you also have to eat. Well, I don't know what you guys say. It was like five potatoes worth of fries.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have referred to it as a pile of fries. It was served on a pizza tray, and it was just a large mound of French fry.
And they were good.
They were really good. All the food was delicious.
Yeah, you don't expect novelty food to be good.
Yeah.
It was stellar.
That was a tasty burger.
It's a tasty burger. So just almost difficult to overstate how beautiful this weekend's going to be.
Yes, it's a hint of fall. Oh, let's just call it fall. It's going to be fall. Day and night, well below average temperatures. 53 tonight, 74 for the high on Saturday. Low humidity, still going with 49 for the low Saturday night into Sunday morning. Sunday, 77. Sunday, Monday, sunny 83, but we will be back to the upper 80s on Tuesday and near 90 degrees on Wednesday. So this is not the end of summer by any means.
Yeah, I think I speak for a lot of fall people like me who are glad to see summer go. As long as I know I'm a few days away from it being back down in the 70s, I'm cool.
Yeah, and that's what St. Louis is known for. It really is. We rarely get, you know, like a month and a half of 100-degree weather like Texas gets or Oklahoma gets. We get these breaks, and it's like, oh, okay, now I'm ready for the next one now.
How about Phoenix? I mean, I know it's Phoenix. I know it's in the desert, but 100 days at over 100, that is tough.
That is tough. You know, the West, much of the West has been very, very hot this summer.
Where would you not live weather-wise, Dave?
Whew. Well, as far as living day to day or the challenge of forecasting?
No, living your life day to day.
Houston, Dallas, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, they're not high on my list.
Mm-hmm, the Dust Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a niece who lives in Dallas, and when she was up here for my mom's funeral and it was like 99, she's like, I know it freaks you guys out, but this is nothing. Like
this feels good.
It's just every day. Yeah, it's just every day.
What's worse, though, that or like the Arctic Circle?
I'll take the circle. I really would. I'll take 20 degrees over 80 degrees any day. And I know it puts me in a tiny minority. Mm.
But will you take 6 months of darkness?
Oh, I've had that. I lived in Alaska for 3 years. And it was weird.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, I was a young guy, so everything was cool.
It's a lot more tolerable when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, everything is. Everything's,
the whole world
everything's
is.
Cool. You're like, wow.
How did you feel about the cold then?
Didn't mind it.
Okay.
I was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was okay. It's like you, like Wheels, you've talked about in Detroit, in Anchorage, you just know that you're going to have 6 feet of snow piled up everywhere.
Yep.
And you just kind of, you just do it.
Yep.
Headlines, Rach?
Yes. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So the IRS has recovered $1.3 billion from high-income Americans who they say underpaid or failed to file returns. This is according to the IRS. They made this statement today. They say they've been cracking down on tax cheats as part of the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act.
We've been going off on billionaires in the show today. Let me continue. Back in like 2004, 2003 was when I signed my first kind of big contract. And I had an accountant who ended up getting indicted. Yes, that's never good. It's never good when your wife yells upstairs, don't come downstairs. The IRS detectives are here. That's not good. So I got audited and it was just... you owe this much money and you're going to pay it and we'll do you a favor and put you on a payment plan, but you're going to give us this money. And I did. And I paid it all back. Had I been a richer man and owed them more money, I would have hired forensic accountants and lawyers who would have kept that thing going for 5 or 6 years. And then I would have settled for pennies on the dollar because that's just the way it goes.
Or they might not even have come after you because it cost too much to get you.
But when you're a regular guy, and you owe 50 grand, they'll come get you.
Yeah, because it's easy pickings.
Yep.
Yeah. I saw this related to this. Mark Cuban talked about this very thing the other day. I saw the video the other day. I don't know if he actually said it the other day. But he was talking about it, and he was doing like a Q&A, and somebody said, should billionaires pay more in taxes? And his answer was blank yes. He goes, we should be paying more. He goes, his logic was, the way our country is structured is what's allowed us to reach this level. And if we do what we're required to do rather than playing the shell game and doing all that, then it makes the place even better, which is going to make it better for everybody else.
So the Starliner capsule is returning to Earth without its two-person crew and will land in New Mexico. It launched in June for what was supposed to be an 8-day mission, but helium leaks and other issues prevented it from returning.
This is going to be really interesting because if it were to malfunction, or crash, God forbid. You just have to imagine that could have been the astronauts on that ship.
A team of scientists has found a simple way to see into the body. So they have applied a common pigment pigment that renders the skin of mice temporarily transparent, revealing the organs underneath. The pigment is one of those used to give the snack food Cheetos its distinctive orange color.
What?
Yes.
So, I know all those words, but not in that order.
So this is far from ready for use in humans, but it could be used in the future. The researchers were able to rinse the dye off of the mice with water, and the skin's natural color returned, and the mice lived with no apparent side effects. So that's good news.
In the future, they might be able to put something on your skin that makes you translucent, and they can look at your liver and see that it's enlarged. That's pretty wild.
It is.
That'd be great for Halloween, too.
Yeah, right?
Oh, the best costume ever!
Freak some people out.
A 17th century Rembrandt painting found in an attic in Maine has brought in $1.4 million in a record-breaking sale. It's called Portrait of a Girl, and it went up for grabs during the Thomaston Place Auction Gallery's annual Summer Grandeur Sale, and three bidders aggressively fought for the piece. It was a record sale for the auction house, who called it a once-in-a-lifetime discovery. Can you imagine just going around upstairs, you're poking around in the attic, and you're like, that kind of looks like a Rembrandt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't even know what one looks like.
We should do a lot of estate sailing like 20 years ago, and everything you see looks like a Rembrandt.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know. I'd be like, but if it looked like an old Rogers Hornsby card, I'd know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys like Antiques Roadshow on PBS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always feel so bad for the people who are like very stoked on their purchase, and then it's
nothing.
Like, yeah, it's always very sad. Yeah. Like, you brought all your stuff down to the roadshow, and they're telling you to...
You ever had anything like that? You ever picked up something that was valuable?
No.
No, my wife has.
No.
She's found a few things because the time she would go do that for fun, for garage selling, she's found a couple of books that were super old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And we have a couple of those. One, I forget exactly what it was.
Where's Waldo?
No. Actually, she found...
the original.
It was like a... I'm not even kidding you. It was eventually donated it to the Holocaust Museum in town, but it was like a first print of Mein Kampf that somebody had.
Jeez.
But
wow.
It was like the first one, and she knew it'd be old, so she called and said, would this be of value? And they said, yes, we would like to have that, and yeah.
Wow. Final story here. You should follow the 20-20-20 rule to get through the workday. One study said Americans now spend the equivalent of 18 years of their adult lives in front of screens. But with many jobs dependent on it, what can you do to give your eyes some rest? Eye doctors say a little ocular relief is as simple as remembering 20-20-20. So that's to blink, something people sometimes forget to do nowadays when locked in on their screen. Then after you make yourself blink, focus on something at least 20 feet away for 20 seconds and do that every 20 minutes. That's supposed to be really, really good for your eye health.
Yeah, you screwed me up with my OCD. Now that you said blink, that's all I can think about.
Some people, all they do is blink.
Dave, you're not 20 feet away, are you?
Approximately.
Oh, because I'm going to stare at you.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's 3:46, brought to you by FIRA Capital Management.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes shy of 4 p.m., celebrating my 60th birthday today, September 6th. And a few people know this, but I have a twin. She's a lovely young woman who was born 49 years after me. Her name is Vivian, and every year she calls in, and we share our birthdays. Hello, Viv.
Hey, happy birthday, Glover.
Happy birthday to you, Viv.
Say something.
Who wants
to happy birthday, Glover!
Yay! Cool. I'm part of a friend group.
Do we all need to do that now?
Yeah, say happy birthday, Viv.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Viv!
What time should I be over for the party? We're going
to Putt Shack and Urban Air. You can meet us there.
Sweet. We're having a sleepover. I love it.
Yeah.
So 11 years old. That's crazy. I remember so well the day you were born on my birthday. It's always been so special. How's 11 treating you?
Pretty good. Today was really fun with all my friends. We're about to party.
That is awesome. Viv is an awesome little athlete. She is 14 feet tall at 11 years old and just dominates everybody. Is golf the number one right now, Viv?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the game? Like, what do you excel at?
Chipping. I don't know why, but kind of good at it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's about no fear right there.
Yeah, that usually comes confidence like when you're my age. So you guys are going to Putt Shack. What else is going on for your birthday weekend? What's mom and dad doing for you?
We are having a party with my family, and we're also going to see the new Beetlejuice movie.
That's very a good one. Fun. That's a good one. Yeah. I will meet you there. Viv, I love you, sweetheart. Happy birthday to my twin.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.